Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acton Millwall is the number one Millwall podcast. Accept no substitute.
Well, hello, dear listeners. We did a little unusual show the other week, which was me walking through the streets of New Cross, and it was actually quite popular. So we're going to give it another try today, albeit in the company of Andrew from the Twitter feed Wall Art. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Hello, how do you do?
And we find ourselves standing outside Number 6, Budley House, the charmingly named Budley House,
very
which I believe
charming.
Is Devonian.
Very charming, yeah. All of the blocks on this estate are named after in places in Devon. So we've got Limpston Gardens, Sidmouth House, and here, Budley House. And I've actually been to all three of them. We bizarrely went there with our holidays when I was a kid, when we lived there. But it was purely by chance. I don't expect that everyone that ever lived on an estate named after a idyllic place went to that place. You know, it's just by chance that we happened to go there.
So we're at the... This is the Friary Estate, is this called?
No, this is the Linley Estate is
Linley
this one.
Linley Estate.
Yeah,
it's off of Friary Road.
That's right. So named after... the site of the old friary is a Roman Catholic church there now. There used to be monks there. I seem to recall seeing monks, but I wasn't of that.
Well, I did a little bit of research because, you know, you live and learn these things, and Friary Road, I've just always called a Friary Road, but it turns out there was indeed a friary, a monastery, can you believe it? Apparently, there's an article on The Independent, last Franciscan monks in Peckham called it a day in 1999. They gave up their monastic life. They survived the Reformation, the article goes, the Reformation of the 15th century. They stood firm in the face of anti-papist riots.
Okay.
But nearly 700 years after their foundation, Britain's Franciscan friars faced extinction. And the 150-year-old community of Our Lady of Sorrows in Peckham, which is...
Lady of Sorrows, that's... quite an act.
Which is obviously the church looking building, quite a large building, once was a monastery, next door to the Budley House, which is a kind of I would call that a 1960s built estate, a council estate. A dog's looking at us out the window. I think he's wondering why two blokes are standing around
slightly forlorn
doing this bizarre thing of talking outside his house. How long did you live here for, Andrew?
So this Budley was probably wasn't 10 years. So we lived just at the end of, or just up there from...
So you're Peckham boy.
Peckham boy, but just up there's Commercial Way.
Yeah.
Further down Commercial Way, Sumner Road, like in the heart of sort of North Peckham. That's where I lived originally. And then we got this place, and my mum turned down a load of other options that the council...
As mums used to do.
The council were throwing at us.
Yeah.
Because this one was seen as that bit nicer than some of the others. And she had a point.
It looks a bit weather-worn now. I mean,
yeah.
It's a shame, because I can see how it would have looked quite nice.
Well, I'm not convinced, because even when I was here, and it probably did look a bit nice.
You're not convinced it was ever nice.
It's just the idea of masonettes, I'm not convinced, in terms of if you're on the lower floor, all right, you had the garden, but you're also, above your bedrooms, you had someone's living room. And so when you had West Indian families with their sort of Saturday night parties, you were there.
The boom bass could go, I get it.
And then looking at, I mean, if like, obviously, I'm here because of my Twitter site, and it's been about posting pictures and photos.
Yeah.
I've actually got a picture of me outside here.
So this is a very young...
So where you've now got some front gardens.
Rather more hirsutes.
Yeah, yeah,
Andrew,
yeah.
If I might make
some bold. No, I had a good day of here once. But where you had, like, where you've now got some front gardens, there used to be a nice concrete strip up.
So
Riding your bike up and down, playing football, playing cricket, you know, council estate living was actually all right, you know, despite the odd neighbours.
So these would have been, these are like front garden fenced off areas as we're looking at Budley House.
Yeah.
These would have been open.
Yeah, and the point of living on an estate was that, all right, you know, it wasn't as nice as maybe the Georgian houses we're looking opposite, but... You had that sort of communal area where you...
These are charming Georgian houses worth a fortune where we're dissing it.
Absolutely beautiful, aren't they?
Looking back at Budley House, which probably doesn't have...
At least we had the best better view. They got to look
up. You can see the charming Georgian houses opposite. And they are quite beautiful, obviously, in their Georgian style, with the arched windows and the rectangular windows above, which have a form all their own. Yeah, open gardens. That was actually a big... debate in council housing. They had what you call defensible space, so these gardens were created to stop people from just walking up in front of your window, probably tapping, putting crap through your letterbox. And this, the idea was, if nobody owned the ground like this, I guess once upon a time, if it was nobody's space, it was everybody's, and you get all sorts of crap. Yeah. I dare say that's what happened here.
As a kid, it was fine. Sometimes you got the odd person come out and say, play up your end, and you did, and like if you're brought a window, sorry mister or sorry missus, you know, it's that sort of thing. But generally, you know, your mum and dad could let you play out here quite comfortably, knowing that the door was open and you can come and go as you pleased.
How long ago are we talking about here, Andrew?
So this was sort of early 80s, late 70s,
so not that long ago. Fencing looks a little bit rickety for the listeners. There's one place down the end of this line of flats that's got really nice privet hedges, as I would know them. Probably all gone on the estate where I came from for parking spaces, but privet hedges, and there's a few nice looking gardens here. Actually, some of them look like they're falling apart, and others are car park areas.
That's quite impressive. The amount they've got a car,
always,
car in there.
Always the most important thing to get park in your car. So this would be where you and your family would have set off for Millwall.
Yeah, so the first time I ever went to Millwall would have been setting off from here.
And first game, Andrew, when was your first game?
First game, 79, home to Luton, we lost 2-0. And I think everyone has to, first Millwall match should be a defeat, you know. It's like,
what else is there?
Yeah. Get used to it, If you can handle that, you can handle anything. So, but as a kid growing up, like going from local primary school, you know, you just you get to the age of about 6 or 7 and you just get into football.
So you said to me this wasn't a Millwall hotbed area.
No, I just think, if you think of our attendances at the time, and you think actually, and then if you think of the density then and the density still now, there's a hell of a lot of people live around here, there's lots of other estates, but going to football, you know, there probably wasn't much, certainly in our case, in our family, there wasn't much money around. So going to football wasn't what everybody did, you know. Whereas my dad, as a youngster, before he had responsibilities, used to go to a lot of football. That's how he used any of his spare cash. You know, when family came along, he stopped going.
So you come from a family of Millwall fans?
My dad is a Millwall fan, and it's him that we have to blame, but in that we have to praise, because his dad was a Crystal Palace fan.
Okay.
And my granddad's best friend was a Millwall supporter. Right. And so 1 week they did Palace, 1 week they did Millwall. And
that was an old thing. I used to do Charlton 1 week where I lived.
Yeah, so depending on maybe which side of...
Because you couldn't go to away travel, it's just beyond your means.
Yeah, so my dad did both, and then when it sort of come to choosing, he was like, much prefer it at Millwall.
Well,
and you know, it wasn't
nearer, if nothing else.
Yeah, and well, yeah, but I mean, even for him then, it probably wasn't as close, but he just loved it. And then you sort of hope that whoever experiences it
gets
that.
It in the same
and
way.
I think, you know, it's sort of actually he had it, and then actually for me, I sort of got it, because I, you know, growing up as a kid, you were sort of more interested in what was on the telly, which wasn't a lot then, but it's teams like your Liverpools and your Man United. So you go to school, and it was like, you know, you had kids, the team they supported because everyone won the cup final that year. You know,
or the league champion, Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So it was all that sort of stuff going on. And so it was only, by being able to go a bit more and realising, actually, this is really close.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, and I like it, and it's good.
And it's got a compulsiveness, which I think comes to you in time.
Yeah, and it's those things that, you know, I can still remember some of the chants, like when I first went. Yeah. You know, I've got those memories. And another sort of memory I've got is of playing out here, but hearing the crowd. So from here, you could hear...
Because we're going to walk down to the old Ilderton Road end from here shortly. And it's not far. It's not actually that far at all, but across the old Kent Road.
But then you've got all the roads and everything else, and you think, actually, the noise did travel.
It's an interesting journey. I've got two bits along it.
But the noise, like, I mean, you hear the noise, and you think, oh, it's been a goal. And you run in and say, Dad, there's been a goal. But you wouldn't know the score because you didn't have, like, the radio only used to sort of come on at half-time sort of thing. Yeah. And it's only if it... Only if there was a goal scored, like, in the final minutes of the match when the video printer had started on grandstand, that you could come and say, Dad, there's been a goal. And they'd be sitting at the video printer watching, yeah, we've scored, you know. And you don't even know you scored. You can just hear a roar.
The other thing, I mean, we've got an overload of information now. There's a dearth of information back then, because if you missed the video printer or if you happened to miss the radio readout of the scores or you didn't get the local Evening Standard for whatever reason, you had no idea what the score would be till Sunday, would you? You got the Sunday papers.
Yeah.
And God help you if you went abroad. You had to wait for the next day's papers to arrive in some far-flung foreign spot.
And I remember getting up, you know, waking up for mornings in this house and coming down in the morning, and my dad would have had the newspaper from the day before and he'd written down all of the scores. So he'd have been up late writing the scores down as they were coming through on BBC News, and I'd get up in the morning, how did so-and-so get on? And it's like...
Happy times?
Yeah.
Here at Budley House?
Yeah, not too bad. As I said, there weren't many Mill supporters here. There was one that lived up there somewhere.
It's like a corridor upstairs. It's like the Masonettes, I would call them, one on top of the other.
Yeah, but other than that, I think there's only maybe a couple of sort of Mill supporting families. And then in primary school, there's one kid that had a season ticket, I think. Right. And I was sort of half Millwall supporter.
Yeah.
And the rest were just a mix of following other teams. But no one ever went to football, other than the one kid that had the Millwall season ticket. He was the only one that went, and then I went occasionally.
That's interesting, because I kind of berate modern kids for not actually having the experience of going to football, going regularly like we do. Yeah. But it's interesting that even then it wasn't quite such a common thing as you think it was.
No. It's not now. Because, as I said, I've started moving out of... sent inner London to outer London.
Yeah.
But my journey went Camberwell, Honor Oak Park, and now I'm in Hayes, just south of Bromley.
Bromley, yeah.
And even where I went, my son went to school in Honor Oak Park, there was no Mill supporters in his class. And that was, you know, we're still in the borough of Lewisham, pretty close, but just none. You know, maybe sort of going a bit sort of middle class, you had that kind of thing going on. But no Mill supporters at all. It's only when you get out to sort of Bromley, and that sort of way. Now he's got a couple of mates in his class who are Mill supporters, a couple that are actually season ticket holders.
Yeah.
You haven't got any season ticket holders from any other clubs.
No.
It's only Millwall.
No.
But it's sort of interesting that actually what I experienced ain't that much different from him.
No.
And it's a bit weird that actually the only kids that go football regularly are Millwall ones, but there aren't that many.
Must be in their DNA, in their blood.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know, the idea of like growing crowds and stuff.
I think also there's a sense of community. I mean, you know, clearly there's a family linkage for yourself, and you know, that passes itself on because, you know, these are the ties that bind us, aren't they?
They are. But then you sort of wonder where does it go? Because, you know,
this area looks totally remote from Millwall Football Club, to be honest now. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have thought we had many regular fans around here. I could be wrong.
No, because on one side of the road, they're probably too poor. On the other side of the road, they're too rich. Yeah. You know, you haven't got your traditional support living there anymore.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Shall we head towards the Commercial Way?
Yes, we can.
We're walking along Friary Road now, dear listeners. The bigger Friary, I genuinely never knew there was a Friary here.
No, it's very grand.
Closed now. Yeah. Due to the influence of drugs in the air, according to the Independent, an area afflicted with drunk...
I think I can still smell them. Yeah.
the affliction's never gone away. We're going to cross the very poetically named Birding Bush Road. Yeah. I couldn't find much about why it's called Birding Bush.
I think, I'm not sure, but there used to be a pub at the end called the Birding Bush.
Hence the name of the road.
Yeah, it could. I don't know which come first. but this was the walk.
This would have been your regular walk down Birding Bush?
Yeah, when we first started going, further down Friary Road. You've got the estate that Rio Ferdinand was brought
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you mentioned there's a plaque on the wall, apparently.
There is.
To Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah, they ain't got a plaque for me, but yeah, they got a plaque for him.
There might be a wall art one at some point.
Yeah, one day. So
Bird in the Bush Road.
Bird in Bush.
Bird in Bush yeah. Road, I'm being yes. corrected. Yeah. It's a series of big old school council estates, I suppose.
That looks like 30s one to me.
1930s one, the one on the right, a red brick, more 70s, I would have thought.
Probably.
A big old block of concrete tower just behind it from the 60s, I dare say.
From a nostalgic point of view, the fact that they're both still standing is sort of... You know, then, especially the 70s one on the right, it's never looked that pretty, but, you know, it's still familiar. And I haven't walked down this road for a long time.
Camelot Primary School, wonderful Arthurian connotations of Camelot in the middle of Bird in Bush Road.
Yeah, but then there's a hell of a lot of history in Peckham.
Well, there is. I mean, even the names here. I mean, Green Hundred Road. I mean, I think that's... Each road seems to have, like, you could research, and what does that mean? Why is it...
Now, we're crossing over Naylor Road. Now, I don't know who Naylor was, but the chip shop...
Corner Fish Bar looks shut, mate.
It's still there. Well, the building is still there. It still says it's a fish and chip shop.
It's a potential business. It looks pretty shut.
But that was our supper of
that
choice on a Friday.
That was a decent chip shop.
Yeah, it was. Friday, you'd go down there, queue up for the chips... even if you couldn't afford to fish that week, you'd still be getting your chips from you.
And the Camelot Primary School, big old venue, actually.
So that wasn't...
And that's your old 1898 London School Board.
That's it. So it looks similar to my school. This is Peckham Park, which is further up Ferrari Road.
With a fence on top to stop you throwing yourself off from the top.
Yeah, I wonder what...
anti-suicide. It's not really. It's got a flat roof, so I suppose you've got to stop kids from falling over.
Well, yeah, I'm guessing that, you know, they've probably sold off some of the playground and now the playground's on the roof instead. That's more the likely story.
It's a beautiful sunny afternoon. We're walking through Peckham. There used to be a cinema advert for Gordon's Gin where they would be on some Caribbean island. They'd be saying the dog and duck Saturday night and... Peckham on a Saturday afternoon, rainy afternoon. This is a beautiful sunny afternoon in Peckham at the moment.
This is how I remember it. That hasn't changed.
I mean, all joking aside, there's some really nice buildings around
here. There are. It's amazing. And this is Commercial Way we're coming up to. But this is why the gentrification works really well here, because...
Look at this.
You don't need much gentrifying because it's already pretty... You've got some really great looking properties.
So again, I would say that's a Georgian terrace, Williams Terrace. It's got the kind of font that you see in places like Brighton on the buildings down there. It's got that kind of look about it.
And some people have started doing them up and made them even prettier. And
yeah.
Just over the road is where the Bross boys used to live.
Matt
and Luke Goss, yeah. So it's one of them along there, because the Brossettes used to stand on this side of the road and the family were on that side of the road. My dad used to be a postman, so he used to have to deliver there, and they wouldn't answer the door to him when he was delivering mail, and he'd have to shout for it. It's a postman, it's not a Brossette. So it's like you had the Ferdinands, you had the Goss twins. It's like, you know, this is quite a cultural hop. There's talent around here. Yeah, don't know what happened to me though.
Commercial Way, we're going to turn left, I guess.
And that was where the Bird and Bush pub was. So.
Oh, this is the Bird and Bush pub, which is now the classic block of flats let by Kinley, Folkard and Haywood, if you're interested, dear listeners. There you can see the pub frontage there. Now blocks of flats. There we are.
Typical story.
You don't know what you've got till you've gone, as Joni Mitchell, I think, said. Now, these are wonderful pebble-dash-dash felt blocks of flats. So this is as bleak can be.
There's,
on the corner.
There's some...
Ones Peter Church House.
Yeah, there's one a little bit behind us that looks similar. And there was, I do remember, in the 70s, I think some kid fell to his death down the lift shaft. So, not the greatest story when it comes to Southwark Council.
Nice mural of kind of like an artistic depiction of an owl, a fox.
Kingfisher. I'm not sure you've seen many kingfishers around here, but... Plenty of foxes.
Once upon a time on Green Hundred Road, you get a kind of a sense of the countryside as well. It's Elizabeth Place over there, 1844. Those little houses.
Yeah.
Kind of, again, country cottages. If you could put them in a rural setting, they'd be idyllic, but they're in Peckham, so...
Achtung, Mehlball.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And we're walking up now towards the old gasworks here, Andrew.
Yeah, up to the old Kent Road, famous old Kent Road. The dividing line.
£60 on a Monopoly.
Yeah, I mean, that to me was like a bit of glamour. You know, it's like the fact we're on the old Monopoly board. It's like, yeah, no one else has got the Monopoly.
Was this the...
This is the Drovers.
Drovers?
Yes, which obviously when the age that I was going to football wouldn't have been a place I would have frequented. But
New Saigon now.
Yeah, even when... I was going to football. I got a feeling it was more of a nightclubby sort of pub rather than a pub.
In the 70s, the Drovers, the Barnaby, I dare say, wouldn't go along past that, and others along the Old Kent Road were known as where I was. I was probably a few years older than you, but not much. Disco pub. So the places you went for a night out.
That's it.
Possibly get on the pool.
Yeah. I think there might even have been strippers there at one point. There was everything down the Old Kent Road, wasn't there?
All human life, and these would have been on the big game situations. I mean, I'm thinking of the likes of the visit of Spurs in the late 70s, and then through the 80s, the first division days. These would have been absolutely packed.
Except I can't remember this one ever being used on a match day. Not like off the top of my head, but that might just be my memory. I mean, the nice thing about the pub is you've still got the mural at the top.
So it does.
The Kentish Drovers, so it's sort of like there's still a little bit of history hanging on.
With Peckham as it was, which was like a windmill, and there's ducks and sheep and maids.
No council estates, I don't know what, you know.
Now, the Drovers is now Miss Saigon, restaurant and bar.
Yeah. Something else that you get here, and I can smell it already. Obviously at Millwall we've got the tip behind the Coldblow Lane stand.
Yeah.
So that's Lewisham Council's tip. From here, you can see Southwark Council's tip as well. So it's like Millwall's right in the middle of
we're big on rubbish tips. So junction of Commercial Way and the Old Kent Road. Which way are you going to take me now, Andrew?
Cross over towards the pub.
Fabulous. The Old Kent Road, of course, famously the Chaucer's Canterbury Tales came along. I probably would have stopped at whatever the Kentish Drovers was then called.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice that the building's still there at least, and it is still being used for... if not drink, then certainly food.
Yeah, it's a curious combination of New Saigon, downtown, Vietnam, and Thomas Caffrey's Irish Ale signs on the side of it. It's an interesting mashup.
Yeah. It's a story of what used to be, really, in terms of pubs. I mean, there's obviously a couple that still...
Some
standing.
Still exist, not many left
now. No, but, I was a little bit too young to properly experience. I went to a few of the, like the Gin Palace and the Dunkow and stuff as I got a little bit older. But my main memory was when sort of started going out uptown and getting a night bus home one night, and then you sort of go down the Old Kent Road on a night bus, and the Old Kent Road was just heaving. Everybody was just out, and it was like, you know, when you see the...
It was a place you'd come to visit. We used to cab it up here.
Right.
You know, and for the event, you know.
But it was like, you know, you see those programmes where they're showing sort of Ibiza and stuff, and the kids are all out, and it was nicer than that though. It just seemed like the atmosphere whenever I went down there. Anyway, it was just joy. It was the place of joy.
Yeah, I mean, all the pubs will be pounding out late 70s jazz, funk, soul, disco pubs as we called them, and we would from Mottingham catch a minigame, go to a club to go and get a cab up here for the night out, and then, you know, it was still doable to get home from there.
But, you know, that's gone. And, you know, you can lament it all you want, it ain't coming back.
Now you're coming back, the area has changed for whether you want to call it for better or for worse. I'll lead up to you, dear listener. We're walking past Toys R Us, which is also gone.
Yeah, I know. So I think it used to be a cinema here. Obviously that went, and then you
big
know,
car park. It's a bleak feeling.
Well, that's it. You had that kind of retail thing takes over. But even as you're saying, Toys R Us,
Toys R Us, fab sofas shut on the other side of the road. Not so fab anymore.
Yeah. So you know, nothing ever stays the same. But you're thinking, well, that if, as long as they can get change of use, there's a load of flats there to be built at some point.
Presumably the dread hand of the internet's done for Toys R Us and the like.
Yeah, and you know, suppose.
Is there us?
Well, I think, you know, trying to, like, you know, anything to do with modern ways and technology and everything, you know, obviously has an impact on things.
So we're walking along the old Kent Road past the dead retail units and parks. There's the Empire Lounge, fully licensed. Wow.
Yeah, I can't
bar
say
and restaurant. Never been in there, Andy?
I can't say I've ever been into any of the bars or restaurants along this stretch.
Looks like it'll be an experience. I'm not sure whether a good one or a bad one. So opposite, is that the Tustin Estate opposite?
That's the Tustin Estate, yeah. So it's the iconic three tower blocks.
Another kind of, I'd say 70s, 60s probably built council estate just on the other side. Scaffolding all over the tower.
So I suggest that they're going to be doing something to it, but let's just hope it's not combustible cladding.
A lot of money in removing combustible cladding now. So what's money to be made out of something which is disaster?
Where my dad and still my brother is a Peckham, he's a postman in Peckham.
Yeah.
He used to deliver to that estate, so not much fun when the lifts were out.
No, high block, probably about, well, over 10 floors, probably about 12, 15, I'd say.
Achtung, Mehlball.
We're going to cross over near the beautifully named Sylvan Grove, which puts idyllic images of pools and rock garden. Nymphs.
Well, that was the thing you were mentioning in your last show about naming conventions, and you talked about the area of the old den not having any reference to...
No, I think that's scandalous, personally.
But I remember at the time when we were moving from... well, moving to the old, to the new den, there was a couple of meetings on a couple of states around here.
Yeah.
And Reg Burr was there, Jeff Burnage. And then, like, a real small number of Millwall supporters there, but someone did ask the question, oh, are you gonna name the streets on the new estate? And they were sort of like, yeah, we'll do it, but you felt, no one was really that bothered. But then I think it weren't that straightforward. I think councils, I think they already have a set list of allowed names.
They keep
names.
Like a book of names.
Yeah.
Names.
And I think if you go outside of that list, it takes longer.
Yeah.
And it could take, like, you know, bureaucratic processes. You know.
Does anyone know who John Williams was? Because that's what runs down the middle of what was our beloved ground.
Let's hope someone does, but I don't think it had anything to do with Millwall. I think the amount of effort it would have taken to get some roads named after any of our players would have just...
So we're walking past the Tustin Estate, which has got like an attractive, or it once might have been attractive, arched retail series of shops. There's a Nissan local chicken shop. They haven't got enough chicken shops in London these days.
Even the bookmakers has gone.
You know the area's skint when the bookmakers folded.
That bookmakers was lovely, because when I'm like coming down here on the Grand National weekend and I hadn't put my bet on, and I could still come in Ladbrokes, I think it was, that was here. And I love the way they used to make a real effort on Grand National Day, because someone had gone to the next door Nissa local, got like the cheapest cola they could get, and a few
biscuits. Which will be cheap.
And a few biscuits on a plate. And the thing was, though, I remember the day I come down here, I was gasping. It was like, you know what, I'm having some of that. It was all right.
That's what I call desperation. A Nisa cola given to you free by the local Ladbrokes.
But Ladbrokes no more.
So we're walking through the past the Pilgrim's Way Community School.
Yeah, and like, I know certainly there was Mill supporters of online chatting about the fact that they used to go to that school. So it's just really weird, because it's a school right in an estate as well.
Well, I suppose design. I mean, it's a building site at the moment, dear listeners. There's a NG, I suppose that is, French company. There's a lot of money being spent doing whatever they're doing with this estate. Scaffolding all over the main tower block here, and most of it's actually fenced off. So it's clearly money being thrown at it, and right in the middle of it is
the Pilgrims Way school, which is multicoloured fence to make it look more attractive.
Yeah. But again, I mean, I remember coming over here sometimes. There was a football pitch somewhere over here.
Yeah.
You know, because if the pitches that we'd used to play on were full up, you'd sort of try and find another estate that had a bit of a spare ground where you can have a kick about. And actually, again, it was all right. You know, you might have had a... It might have been a concrete pitch, had a goal at each end, and it's like, you know, that'd do.
So I'm always curious. I wonder how many Millwall fans still live close in the area. I mean, proportionally, whether it's more... There was this debate about moving the ground out to Dartford and that we're going to be tapping into our support to be out in the south-east. Yeah. But I still think there's a sizeable amount that live relatively close in the area, SE16, SE1 and so on.
And I think part of the problem, though, if they ever did consider that, is the fact that, say, like, I live sort of closer to Bromley, and there's a load of Millwall that live that way. You've got a load that sort of live closer to Dartford. Getting from Bromley to Dartford ain't easy. Sometimes
everything comes in, doesn't it?
If you all come in, it's all right. We've all got to put up with the journey. But actually, not just put up with the journey, you've still got a little
bit still, of left. You know, we're doing this for the reason to try and demonstrate that there's still a connection with most of our fans. There is an emotional connection. There's a familial connection. And we're walking a route here that's familiar to you, and that each point means something of some sort, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
And you lose that at your peril, because I think if you move to, you know, the kind of classic retail park we still know the country, we've given it away, haven't we?
Yeah, you have. So it's sort of still there. It's weird. I remember doing a speech at my wedding. Yeah. And I mentioned about like the ghosts of Peckham. It's like people have this misconception about Peckham, and it all comes from Del Boy and all the stabbings, and all that sort of stuff.
Ridden,
and it's like, you know,
got rid of the monks.
Yeah. Poor old monks. No one mentions them. But it's like that. You don't know it. You don't know what it actually meant to be from that sort of area or that sort of community. You know, I wouldn't say it's special. It was had its problems.
It means something to you, clearly.
And the thing is, I think it's still there, but it's sort of like it's a ghost, if you know what I mean.
No, I know precisely what you mean.
Yeah, actually, it does live. It lives in us as supporters. It lives as even the supporters that don't go anymore. It still exists, and a lot of them are out in Kent or wherever they are. But it's hanging in there, and ain't gone yet, and it might never go. It might carry on, then it might sort of come back in a different.
I think it's up to us. I mean, you know, everyone listens to the show. It's up to you to pass this sense on if you see it as important. At least I do.
Yeah,
I think it's important.
It is. I mean, I bring my son now, and you know where we sort of park, which is a little over there, and he sort of does similar sort of walks that I used to do, and it's like, you know, he'll come out with certain comments, but then you know what? It's eye opening for him because where he lives is a little bit plusher, a little bit greener. Yeah.
It's edgy around here. I mean, we're standing on the Tustin junction with Ilderson Road. There's I think there is still a functioning builder's yard on builder's merchant's opposite. But it is, you know, it opens kids' eyes to life,
which
definitely. I don't think
is a bad thing. No, not at all. And so the son, hasn't put my son off going.
Yeah.
So, you know, he doesn't mind that. It's more the results and the cold that have put him off more than the surroundings.
Well, with him there, it puts me off a lot. Let's walk through. So we're walking down now through the Tustin underneath some wonderful walkways. Students at Council Housing Management will know all about walkways and the debate to get rid of them because they were used as muggers' hangouts, especially on estates like the Ferrier in Kidbrook, which I know well. That might be another podcast in its own right another time. All gone now. We were coming through onto Wilderton Road.
Train going past,
because there we touch on the railways that shaped our club twice over, both at Coldblow Lane and at Zampa Road. Railways hemmed us in on all fronts. And there we are, going to cross over.
Yeah, so possibly would have come through this way or a little bit further up. There is a gap in the middle of the black block.
Yeah, big blocks of flats.
But I think that entrance has now got a key code to get through, whereas before everyone could just walk through.
Yeah.
Achtung, Mehlball.
I always find it interesting. I mean, these places look... it's a bit like the garage on Zampa Road, you know. They look like the nuclear bomb's gone off and there's nothing left. And they're functioning businesses still going, you know.
Totally. So I still do this bit of the walk. Now we've crossed over Wilder Road, I still do this walk on match day.
This is still familiar ground for you.
Yeah, so, you know, we've got a car wash up ahead of us. That never used to be there.
No.
But it's still, you know, gritty and as industrial and as...
Long may that continue. I don't know what you thought of the gentrification of South Bermondsey, but I quite like the fact we turn up fortnightly into the midst of a light industrial wasteland.
Did you say South Bermondsey is gentrified? I haven't noticed. Sorry.
The planned gentrification.
Oh, right, I was going to say, because I've been to Queen's Road and they've done some work there, yeah, but South Bermondsey still looks as salubrious as ever.
Tyres, Euro Tyres, new in part one. That'll probably have to change its name after Brexit, Euro Tyres. So we're walking down towards the Hand Car Wash.
Yeah.
Canterbury Estate and Hornchay Street.
And that's it. Before we get to the car wash, this was the entrance to the old Den car park.
It is, yeah. Close up by the Land Sheriffs now. This is the old walk under the railway line here.
So this entrance is as it was. The bit underneath the bridge, and the bridge itself has been done up, and that has changed.
Would this have been West End turn back, WHU?
No,
turn
this
back?
Isn't
further round.
That was further down. So this was the entrance to the car park. So one of the pictures that I post online is of the car park looking towards the away end.
Yeah.
And so you went under this bridge here, and then you sort of went up on a bit of a slope. The cars went up, and there was a car park that was sort of up to sort of.
Was the New Cross Stadium here in your time, or had it been demolished?
No, that had gone by the time I started going. But this was an entrance that supporters walked through, so you either walk through the car park to get to the away turnstiles, or we walk further up along Hornsey Street, usually Hornsey Street, but this was an entrance. And actually, I think this blue paint is actually original,
the remnants of
original
the den
blue paint.
Yeah, look at that.
There's a local over the other side.
I think you're right. That was the shade looks familiar from the old den.
Yeah, it's faded slightly.
This is like paint on the external walls and beyond the security gates where we're standing. Blue paint. I might get a picture of that, actually.
It's sort of, I think, if Tony Robinson and his time team were doing anything around here to try and see the remnants of the old place, this is where they probably
blue paint is all that remains.
Yeah.
Like a Roman, like the Roman villa at Ainsford, only bits of it remain.
I think if they, examined it properly enough, they'd probably work out which lorry it fell off the back of. They have plenty of it.
Over on the far side there is the small block of flats built on the site of the Barnaby, which was a regular Millwall pub, big Millwall pub in its day.
So as I got to the corner of
Hornchay Street,
Hornchay Street and Ilden Road, you would see the crowds outside the Barnaby. And so then obviously you had a few coming that way, a few coming from the Old Kent Road, and everyone funnelling down here basically.
Shall we walk down Hornchay Street?
Yeah, so I've only ever got as far as the social club.
The gloriously named Will Shunters.
That's it. I haven't gone all the way since we moved.
This is the first. Let's do it. Come on.
Yeah. I actually, for a good couple of years, I was so almost heartbroken by leaving.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring myself to go anywhere near the old place. And even sort of walking along Ilden Road to the new ground. So I didn't look. I don't want to look.
This is a weird thing to do. I mean, that walk I did in the previous show, you do feel like you're treading on ghosts almost, my wife laughs at me when I go, it sounds like you're over-romanticising it all. But what else do we have other than these memories,
No, she does know your one true love, doesn't she?
And we're walking past the Will Shunters Club, which is based loosely on Hitler's wolf's lair in East Prussia.
It looked downtrodden then, and you're thinking that was on its last legs. And
we did ever look glamorous. When it's a kind of asphalt building. Blue doors here, please keep eyes. I mean, it looks like a prison. I'm not knocking it. It's part of it's a working men's club. Will Shunters Club's been here for years, and I'm surprised it still exists, to be honest. How it makes a living, I don't know.
And the fact that it is sort of, it looks quite prison-like is probably the fact that I'm guessing it might only be used on very rare occasions, plus match days.
Yeah, you might get, there's an estate opposite, small low-rise yellow brick council estate, but otherwise no, it'd be match day. You wouldn't entice many away fans in here, would you?
No, and fair play to whoever runs this, looks after it, because they've kept it going, and it obviously doesn't survive on a lot of money, but it still exists, it's still used. And I know people have Millwall supporters have long since left the area, they'll come back here and they'll have a,
it's that community thing again. It looks pretty battered, but there's, as you say, there's probably not an awful lot of business to be had out of it.
And the nice thing is they've got a couple of little concrete football pitches next to it, and the kids, you see them in their Millwall shirts playing there on match days. And actually that's all a dad wants, is somewhere to meet his mates and have a drink, and the kids to have a kick about. You know what? It serves its purpose.
Yeah.
And there you can see the where the railway line's been redone for the East London Line extension. Yeah. And so that used to be where the sort of car park was. It was up there, but they've now used that embankment to build onto a new bridge. So this bridge,
yeah, because this railway line here, which you can see, it's new.
Yeah,
the block work is, yeah, is much
newer. This bridge didn't exist, and
so yeah, this would have been the car park. The old stadium would have been the cross stadium, be just over as we're looking through another railway bridge. We'll go through there shortly, and then we'd be going through into the Alton Road end, wouldn't we?
That's it.
The walk through to the legendary puddle and the plank that
some of our best photos.
Yeah.
I mean, what I used to do in the summer months where I was like missing football, I'd always take a trip over just to have a look at the ground. And then one summer I took my camera with me and I took some pictures. I got in the other end as well so I could go inside and take a couple of pictures. And I'm pleased I did because, you know, it weren't long before the place went.
Well, this is it. I mean, history unfolds in front of your eyes and you take it for granted at the time. So if you hadn't have done that, you wouldn't have these shots. You know?
And like some of the other pictures that I put online are ones that my dad took. So Anfield away, some of the matches that we played in the top division, he took his camera, he was standing in the family enclosure then. And, you know, he was the sort of dad that always took pictures as a... And so it was great that he did it. At the time, you're thinking, why are you taking those pictures? And now I'm thinking, have you got any more?
They're invaluable when life moves along. You know?
Well, yeah, and like this day and age, everyone's got a phone on their camera, so it's normal to take pictures wherever you go. But in those days, it really wasn't. And, you know, the actual film was expensive and getting them processed was expensive.
A performance. Very few pictures survive a whole chunks of my life for that reason.
Yeah, so it was, you know, I actually found a load more pictures of my dad the other day. So it's like, you know, it's pleased that I've got them and I'm able to share them as well because I think they do help you.
You remember. So we've just walked under the relatively new railway bridge. This didn't exist back in the days. And now we're looking at the back end of, I imagine that's John Williams Close, the estate that was built on the site of Coldblow Lane from the Alderton Road end. Anyway, it's hard to get your bearings because it is much, much changed now, but this would have been...
If I had to guess...
There's New Cross Stadium, so we would have been over here.
Well, I reckon the old railway line used to come along here. So where we've got this sort of grey... stainless steel.
It's like an embankment almost, isn't it, in front of us?
I reckon this was possibly where the bridge was that we used to walk under.
So this would have been the corner of the ground then.
So the turnstiles would have been just there.
And again, the John Williams Close estate is it's a bit Brookside-ish for anyone that remembers that in the 80s. Red brick, 1980s built. No, neither great nor particularly bad, really. A bit falling apart. You can see bits and pieces falling off.
When I first... looked to buy my own flat, estate agent brought me here, and that was the first time I actually came back to the den, and that was like, oh god, I wish I weren't coming in. But you know, when I looked, and obviously these houses were bought by Fairview because that's who we had on our shirts, and I've got to say they didn't do a great job. But then I don't think a lot of modern properties
did, mate.
No, and it's like they weren't built that well. I'd be interested to see if they last as long as what the den did, you know. It's because we've obviously seen a lot of estates that come and go. You sort of, you know, people do live there. These are people's homes, so you sort of hope they last. They should do.
Will they last as long as those Georgian houses that we saw back at the start of our
walk? I don't think they'll last as long as them or ever be worth as much, no.
So there we are. We've done the walk from Budley House, home originally of Andrew. This has been the walk that he did regularly to the den. And here we are standing at the estate that was once would have been the entrance to the Alderton Road entrances. That's fantastic, Andrew. Thank you for sharing that stuff with you, mate.
That's all right.
Really, really good. Nice. If you enjoyed this show, I don't know if you enjoyed it or not. People did seem to enjoy the previous one. If you enjoyed this one and you want to do something similar, give me a shout. We'll see what we can work out. We don't want to keep doing the same stuff over and over, of course, but it might be that you have an angle or something different that you want to share. I'm more than happy to catch up with people to do something like this. So this has been wonderful stuff. This is Andrew of Wall Art. It's a great website you've and Twitter feed you're doing there, by the way.
Thank you. Almost as good as your efforts, which must take even more time than mine.
I've got a lot of time on my hands. Great stuff. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Oh, Bermondsey, that's home to me. I'm longing for a moment when I shall see the happy laughing razor slashed faces of the people I love.
You've been listening to Achtung Millwall, the CBL Magazine podcast. That's the Millwall news this week, and we are out of here.
And how I miss the smell of the gasworks and the people I love.
So this is a postscript. After we turned the recording off, we're now standing on the site of what was called Jews Hill. Let's give it its name as it became known, and the old dog track. And we're looking across the site of the old den and the houses that were backed on. I think that's called Hunsdon Road. Would have backed onto the seats. And Andrew's just expressing an interest of very similar to Kevin Costner in the baseball movie Build It and They Will Come. You want to rebuild the den here, Andrew?
When I'm
IT billionaire, you want to rebuild an exact replica.
This time next year. As a famous pickle boy once said, if I was a billionaire, yeah, I would just buy these flats off of these people.
Oh, and demolish the lot.
Demolish the lot and rebuild it.
Brick by brick, an exact replica.
I'd make it more shabby, if anything. But but I would, you know, what I would give for just one more match. As I said, I still occasionally have the odd dream that I'm there. And, you know, it'll never leave me. And it's bloody annoying being here and it not being there. But, hey-ho, memories.
No, I'm going to stick this right on the end of the show. Thank you.
Memories of that quaint old-fashioned town. There was a quaint old-fashioned schoolhouse till the school kids burned it down. I'm off to Bermondsey. They love a fight. Gosh, oh, gee.